If you look at your scripture reading this evening in Romans chapter 13 there, you'll notice that the Apostle Paul says to awake from your sleep. I want to talk a little bit this evening about being spiritually asleep. And we're going to look at the New Testament and what Jesus and others say about being sober and spiritually alert. And I hope that our lesson this evening will be encouraging. I don't know if you've ever known of anybody that was physically asleep and caused themselves a problem. As I'm now thinking about that, I remember in Acts chapter 20, Eutychus, who fell asleep and fell to his death. So that would certainly be a problem. But one time my brother was in college and he was driving down the interstate and he got really sleepy and he fell asleep. And he ran into the back of the vehicle in front of him and really cut his chin really bad. And if you look real close on his chin, he's got a scar. He fell asleep and he got into a wreck. It caused him a big problem. Maybe you've known of someone who, because of physical sleep, caused a great problem in their life. Have you ever thought about spiritually sleeping? Being spiritually asleep. That's what I want us to talk about this evening, and I want us to be encouraged, again, by Jesus and others, to make sure that we are spiritually awake. I don't think we think about that a lot. I think sometimes we think, well, you know, I need to stay physically awake when I'm at church, or when I'm at work, or I'm at school. I need to make sure that I'm awake. And that's important, of course. But do we think each day about being spiritually awake? Alert. And even what is that? What does that mean to be spiritually alert? We know what it means to be physically awake. What does it mean to be spiritually awake? And so I hope this evening we can be encouraged along these lines. Paul said, awake from your sleep. He was talking about spiritual sleeping. And we need to make sure that as we live our lives, we are spiritually awake. And we're going to look at some things that are going on in our culture today that if we're not careful, we'll be lulled into this spiritual sleep and we will not be right with God. So what does it mean to be spiritually alert and how can I stay spiritually alert? This evening, we're going to look at the New Testament passages that speak about being spiritually alert, and we're going to do two things. We're going to notice the passage where this is mentioned, and number two, we're going to learn from these individuals that are writing these things or speaking these things. We're going to learn how to stay awake. We're going to learn how to stay spiritually awake. If you were physically asleep, someone would come along and say, now look, here's how you wake up. You need to drink something with some caffeine. So go get a cup of coffee or go get a monster drink or something that's got some caffeine in it. Here's what you need to do to wake up. Somebody's going to tell you what you need to do to wake up. Or they might tell you, well, you need to go to bed earlier and you need to get more rest or you need to take a nap or maybe open the window and get some cold air or stand up and move around. They'll tell you different things you need to do to wake up. Well, in these passages that we're looking at this evening, we're being told in the very passage where this problem is mentioned, being spiritually asleep, in the very passage we're going to see what we need to do to stay spiritually awake. Brethren and friends, our problem in our culture today is this very thing that we're talking about. I find that one of the greatest problems in our culture today is that the devil is using various ways to get people to be spiritually asleep. He doesn't necessarily come up to someone and say, look, I'm the devil and I'm your greatest problem and I want to take you to hell. He doesn't do that. He goes about it in a much more deceitful way and he gets people to be spiritually asleep. And by doing that, he accomplishes the same thing that he wants. He does take them to hell, but in a much more deceitful way, and he gets people to fall asleep spiritually, and he can get brethren to do the same. I find it interesting that we're going to look at some passages this evening And all of them are spoken to followers of Christ. All of them, we're going to look at some passages that Paul mentions. They're all written to Christians. Christians can be the ones who are in the most danger of falling asleep spiritually. So let's learn how to stay awake this evening. Turn with me to Luke chapter 12 and verse 35, and let's begin with Jesus this evening, who talks about this matter of being spiritually alert. How can we stay awake? Well, we can stay awake when we're always ready for action. We're always busy doing the Lord's work. If you and I will do something for the Lord each day, each week, if we will stay active in the local church, it could be a number of things that we can do in and out of the building. If we will stay active, we will stay spiritually alert. If we're spending the majority of our time doing other kinds of things, worldly kinds of things, and there are things that we do need to do that involve our work or home or family, but if all of our life involves just that alone, then we're going to slowly fall into a spiritual sleep. We have to stay active for the Lord. Now, what does that mean? Well, who do I need to check on? Who do I need to visit? What can I do with regard to evangelism, talking with someone about the gospel? What can I do with regard to building up brethren, edifying? What can I do with regard to benevolence, helping people? What we call the work of the church, good deeds, good works. We've got to stay active in the Lord's kingdom. And when we do, we will be awake. People who are working, their mind is awake, their body is awake, they're working. They go to work and they're working. They're awake. And so working in the kingdom keeps us spiritually awake. Jesus said with regard to being ready for the second coming, look at Luke 12, verse 35. Let your loins be girded about, your midsection bound up, and your lamps burning. Just look at that figure right there. When you go to bed at night, you don't want a lamp burning right beside your bed. That would provide light. Lamps burning means that I'm awake. I'm vigilant. Okay? And be yourselves like unto men, looking for their Lord when he shall return from the marriage feast, that when he comes and knocks, they may straightway open unto him. Blessed are those servants, we're supposed to be doing, okay, bond servants here, out doing the Master's will, whom the Lord, when he comes, shall find watching. Here's your spiritual alertness. So here's a servant watching and ready for his master to return, and he's working. He's got his loins girded. This is a figure for activity. Okay, when you go to bed at night, you might put on your PJs or something else. It's not work clothes. When you get up in the morning, you put on your work clothes. It's different than your sleep clothes. And so loins girded about, that for a servant, that is the figure there of work and activity. And Jesus says that when the master comes, verse 37, the servant is found watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them sit down to meat and shall come and serve them. When Jesus comes again, if we've been working and serving him, he will serve us. That's an interesting figure there. And we will be blessed with him in heaven. Verse 38. And if he shall come in the second watch, and if in the third, and find them so blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what hour the thief was coming, he would have watched and not have left his house. There's your alertness to be broken through. But you also be ready, for in an hour that you think not, the Son of Man comes. Staying active. Staying active will make us spiritually alert. But if our week is primarily filled with non-Lord's work stuff, we can find ourselves so consumed with just the things of this life that we're not, maybe there's a sin in our life that we're not getting rid of. Maybe there's something that I need to change, but I'm not going to work on that because I'm just so concerned and consumed with the things of this life. I need to be busy working and doing the Lord's will. Turn with me to Romans chapter 13. Let's look at our scripture reading this evening. And let's look at another statement now from the Apostle Paul. What can we do to stay spiritually alert? As you're turning over to Romans chapter 13, you remember a few Wednesday nights ago I brought the Cheerio box, and on the back of the Cheerio box I read you some statements there that were very egocentric and focused on yourself and that kind of thing, and I tried to bring out that this is kind of what our culture is pushing on us. Well, after that talk, after the service, several of you were saying to me, you know, I really appreciated that. I hadn't thought about that, or I wouldn't have thought that it would have been on the back of a box or that type of thing. And I wanted to tell you that I appreciate those comments because that's the very thing I'm trying to do. I try to bring up things from time to time to make us alert. We've got to be aware. We've got to always be on spiritual guard. And just like someone would physically be looking around, we need to spiritually be aware of what is being fed us in our culture. And it could be on the back of a cereal box. So that's, I purposely do those kinds of things. And I want our young people also to be mindful that they are constantly being bombarded with things that you've got to be spiritually alert to. So be open. When you hear things, when you see things, analyze it. Look at it. Always compare and contrast it with the Word of God. Always be alert. I don't know about that. I need to test what I just heard with the Word of God. Or I've seen something or I've heard something. I need to check that out. I need to test that. It's a way to constantly be spiritually alert and not just lulled into, well, I'll just kind of believe whatever I'm fed. You know, whatever my culture feeds me, I'll just sort of take that in. We don't need to be like that. So here's another thing. Look at Romans chapter 13 and verse 11. Here's another thing that we can do to stay awake. We can put on the Lord Jesus Christ and not make provision for the flesh. You'll find it interesting in this scripture reading that the first three verses, each verse mentions something about being alert. Did you notice that? Look at Romans 13:11. And this, knowing the season that is already, it is time for you to awake out of sleep. This is spiritual sleep. This is not physical sleep. For now is salvation nearer to us than when we first believed. Each day that goes by, you are closer to the judgment day. Okay? Each day that goes by, you are closer to the judgment day. And as you get closer to the judgment day, you better be spiritually alert. Okay? And then look at verse 11, awake from sleep. Look at verse 12. The night is far spent and the day is at hand. Here's the second time Paul mentions we don't need to be just like you physically sleep at night. You don't need to be spiritually asleep. The day is at hand. We need to be acting as if it's the daytime. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, sin, and let us put on the armor of light, truth, and righteousness. Let us walk becomingly or properly as a Christian should walk according to the New Testament scripture. As in the day. Here's the third time. He mentions it in verse 11, verse 12, verse 13. Three times he mentions day, light, awake. He's trying to make the point to these Roman brethren that you've got to be spiritually alert. So let us walk becomingly as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness. The first two words deal with alcohol, not in chambering and wantonness. The second two pair deal with sexual immorality, not in strife and jealousy. The third pair deals with the works of the flesh that's an attitude that is wrong. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Paul is writing to Christians. You could read verse 13 and you could think, wow, man, he's talking about people out there in the community that are just terrible people. He's writing to Christians and he's saying, don't be caught up in alcohol. Don't be caught up in sexual sin. Don't be caught up in envy and strife. Even brethren. Well, how in the world can brethren get caught up in those kinds of things and other kinds of things? They're not being spiritually alert. So their culture is telling them alcohol, sexual sin, envy and strife and other things. That's perfectly fine for you guys.
And we're sitting here in the local church, well, I guess it's okay. And so we start doing that kind of thing. And Paul says, no, wake up. Wake up. This is wrong behavior. Brethren, one thing that happens in culture is you're bombarded that a certain behavior, like homosexuality, for example, oh, it's fine and it's legal and everything's fine with that. And you just get bombarded with that over and over again, and we're lulled into this spiritual sleep that, well, I guess it's okay. If Paul were writing today, he would say the same thing. Wake up. Get out of your sleep. You know, this is not right. And so our culture has a way of getting us to just get sleepy. Oh, just sleepy, spiritually speaking. And we just sort of go with what is being presented to us. So what's the solution? Paul, verse 14, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. I love that figure. Just like you would get up in the morning and put on your clothes, we put on the Lord Jesus Christ. It reminds me of what Paul told Timothy, to adorn the doctrine of God. We put God's doctrine on, if we will. We put on Jesus when we put on His words, we put on His example, we put on what He would want us to do. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. The next time you go through your closet and you're trying to pick out what you want to wear, and you're standing there trying to pick that out, think, you know what? Whatever I pick out, I need to make sure that I put on the Lord Jesus Christ today. I've got to stay spiritually alert. That's why, young people and all of us, that is why so important to be reading our Bible every day and to be here at the service every time the doors are open and to be active in our service and praying and doing everything Jesus wants. It keeps us from becoming spiritually asleep. Spiritually lethargic. Spiritually unknowing. And we're just slowly being taken in by the devil. Verse 14, our lusts just slowly take over. And here we are, we find ourselves in sin. So Paul says, wake up, wake up. Don't be lulled into sleep. And the way to do that is we make sure that we're always wearing Jesus Christ. We're not going to wear the lust of the flesh. They will be there. Those lusts will always be there. Those desires will be there. But you constantly say no to that. You tamp that down. You push that away. No, I'm putting on Jesus today. I'm not putting on the lust of the flesh. I'm putting on what Jesus would want me to do. And so, it's a great thing. Stay away from this spiritual lethargy and sleep. How? By putting on Jesus. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 when Paul is talking about the Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. When Paul is talking about the Lord's Supper, he says that we need to discern, you're very familiar with this Bible passage, you need to discern the body and the blood. And we always make the point around the Lord's table, as we should, that when the Lord's Supper is served, we need to be thinking seriously. To discern means to discriminate, to think about carefully and critically why Jesus died on the cross for us. And for a few moments, we're going to put out of our mind the things that are going on, the ice and the snow and all that kind of stuff, and we're going to focus on Jesus Christ and what He's done for us. Now look at what Paul says about brethren who have not done that. They're served the Lord's Supper every Sunday, but they're not discerning the body and the blood. Look at what he said, what it leads to. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27, wherefore, whosoever shall eat the bread or drink the cup in an unworthy manner. The manner is, I'm not discerning as I'm putting this unleavened bread and fruit of the vine in my mouth. I'm not, it's a manner that is not discerning. So I need to do more discerning. So if I do that in an unworthy manner, shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Be mindful of that. Wouldn't it be a shame if we stood in, you know, before the Lord on the judgment day and our only accusation was, well, when you were taking the Lord's Supper, you weren't discerning my body and blood. That would be a shame. So let's make sure that we're doing that. Verse 28, but let a man prove or test or examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he that eats and drinks, eats and drinks judgment unto himself, The way you do that will be the way that you are being judged. And you are bringing upon yourself how the Lord views you because of how you are judging yourself and bringing this on yourself, whether you're discerning or not. So then, keep reading. What does Paul say? Verse 29, "For he that eats and drinks judgment unto himself, if he discern not the body." Now look at verse 30. Here's the consequence. "For this cause, many among you are weak and sickly, and not a few sleep." Now, I am aware of the position that some brethren take on verse 30. They say that Paul is using the word sleep to mean death. And so, these Christians were not discerning the body and the blood. They were not taking the Lord's Supper properly. And so God was actually judging them with death, physical death, striking them dead. That is a position that some have taken. I don't take that position. I line it up with what's in the rest of the verse. Paul is talking about, verse 30, spiritual weakness, spiritual sickness, and spiritual sleep. But if we discern ourselves, we should not be judged. Brethren, here's how you stay away from spiritual weakness, spiritual sickness, and spiritual sleep. You discern, you're a discerning person. And not just with regard to the Lord's Supper. We need to do that with the Lord's Supper. But anything in life. Discerning means that you're comparing things, A and B. I've heard one thing, but what does the Bible teach? Culture is saying one thing, I've witnessed one thing, but what do I know from the Word of God? And you're testing that and looking at that and examining that. You're thinking critically about that. You're not just going to hear or see something in culture and just run with it. You're going, whoa, wait a minute. Everything I hear and see around me, even with my brethren, I'm going to check that out. I'm going to be a thinker. I think sometimes today in our culture, one thing that concerns me with our educational system is not just sort of like the elementary, we're not teaching fundamentals. That's one of the big problems. But another thing that we're not teaching in school is how to think. How to think. How to think through a problem. How to reason through a situation. And I see it a lot when I see interviews. People will be interviewed and a question will be asked. They don't know up from down. And then there's a follow-up question, and that even makes it worse. And, I don't know. And they say things without thinking, or they say something, and someone says, well, that doesn't make sense. And they don't even know that it doesn't make sense. We're not being taught how to, if you have two things out here, how to weigh that and examine that and test that and work through that mentally. How to get from point A to point B. We're not teaching that anymore. And so people are just accepting all kinds of things. Discernment means that we have the ability to think through and examine. And yes, if that needs to be taught someone, then we need to teach that. Some of those things actually have to be taught. I have learned from others how to think. I believe we come into this world with some inner ability being made in the image of God. We have a conscience. We are conscious. We have a mind. We can be critical in our thinking. And we're born with that. But as we grow up, we can actually be taught how to reason and how to logically work through something. In my opinion, I think we ought to get back to teaching that as much as possible. So look at verse 11. They're sitting there. They're putting something in their mouth. But they're weak and sickly and asleep. Part of the problem, if you go back to verse 22, is they had turned it into as if it were a common meal. And it was no longer about thinking about Jesus Christ dying on the cross. So you can easily slip into this spiritual sickness, spiritual weakness, and spiritual sleep. And you know, today when somebody is sick, boy, we run to the hospital. We go to the emergency care center. we get that prescription, got to get that prescription, get to the doctor, we've got to make sure we got that, and we just get on that. And that's fine. That's good. But do we do that with spiritual sickness? I think sometimes we don't take it seriously. And the devil has just gotten us into spiritually sleeping and weakness and sickness. So let's be discerning, brethren. Let's be discerning, not only in the Lord's Supper, but anything that we do. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15 while we're here. Paul uses this figure again. How do we stay awake? Well, we need to avoid evil companionships. We need to avoid voices around us that are not teaching the truth. Paul, when he was in Corinth, had taught them about the resurrection. Well, in verse 12, some of them were saying that there is no resurrection. How in the world did these brethren get to the point in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12, some were saying that there is no resurrection? It didn't come from Paul. Where did it come from? Well, keep reading. It came from verse 33 and 34 and 35. It came from other voices. Evil companionships corrupt good morals. The context of it is they were listening to someone other than the truth. And so they're now saying that there is no resurrection. So, how do we stay spiritually alert? Be very careful who you surround yourself with. Verse 33, be not deceived. They were being deceived. What was the immediate deception? Verse 12, oh, there's no resurrection. They were being deceived. Evil companionships corrupt good morals. Why do I say that it was coming from a cultural philosophy? Back up one verse. In that area and in that time, some were saying, if the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. That was the thought. Live it up. Have a good life. There is no resurrection. Go for all of the gusto now. And that had infiltrated the minds of some of these brethren, and they're now saying, oh, there's no resurrection. Well, then that's going to have a consequence. They're going to go out and start living an ungodly life, right? Because you don't have to give an account if there is no resurrection. They were surrounding themselves by philosophies, Greek philosophies that were not true. Now today, how does that happen? It happens on your phone. It's on your phone. It's other places too. It could be the old traditional TV. It could be the old traditional radio. But for the most part, it's our phone. If you surround yourself by voices that are saying this and that, if you're not careful, you'll start believing that and you'll start looking at that and you'll start falling into those ideas, those philosophies, and it'll slowly move you away from the truth. Verse 34, awake to soberness righteously. You brethren need to wake up. The resurrection is true. Stop believing these false philosophies out there that say otherwise. Wake up. Wake up. And so, how do we stay awake? Stop listening to the philosophies and human wisdom that is around us, and much of it is piped into our mind on our phone. Social media, let me be very clear, social media can be used for a very good purpose. It can have a great purpose, a good purpose, but much of it is not helping. And so all of the Instagram and the TikTok and the Facebook and the other kinds of platforms, you look at that stuff all day long, it fills your mind with things that take you away from Christ. Listen, nobody is saying, hey, Instagram, hey, I'm the devil and let's go to hell together. They're not doing that. What they're doing is things like put yourself first and think about yourself and do what you feel is right. It's these little things that work their way in to your mind. Nobody's saying, let's all go to hell together. Nobody's doing an Instagram. Be an atheist today. There might be some who are actually doing that. But it's not happening like that. It's happening with little comments that are mostly geared toward put yourself first. The old judge's problem. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. or the Proverbs passage. There is a way in man that he thinks is right, but the end of those ways is death. That's typically how it's working today. And we've got to wake up, but we just scroll that stuff all day long. And after a while, we start believing it and following it, and it comes into our work. We're starting to word things the way we're seeing it. And we've got to stop that. We've got to wake up. The problem at Corinth was they didn't have phones. They had Greek and Roman philosophies floating around town and other places, and they were starting to buy into that stuff. And, well, you know, I don't believe the resurrection anymore. Please, 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 wake up from what is on the phone. So look at what he says, verse 34. Awake to soberness, the American Standard reads, righteously and sin not. Stay away from voices that are going to lead you away from the truth and live a righteous life that doesn't have sin in it. Don't let culture send you lies and preach lies to you. And that's basically what it is. Preaching. They're preaching. That's going to lead you into sin. For some have no knowledge of God. The key is knowledge. We've got to have the knowledge of God in our life, not what we see on our phone. And those that don't have the knowledge of God, they're the ones that are leading you astray. And look at what he says in verse 34. There are times when Paul was negative. People today don't like anything negative. Look at the end of verse 34. I speak this to move you to shame. Shame on you, brethren. Shame on you, brethren, for not believing in the resurrection anymore. Paul says, we all know that that happened. It happened according to the Scriptures. There was eyewitness testimony to it. And it's a shame that you people are saying, verse 12, there is no resurrection. Now you need to wake up. You need to stop sinning and get back to a knowledge of God. And sometimes we need a jolt like that. I remember one time in a college class, I was sleeping. It was an afternoon college class. And I had my head up against the wall asleep. The teacher came and just shook me good. Look, sometimes we need a spiritual shaking. We need someone to come along and shake us up. Wake up. And that's what Paul's doing here. Wake up. Turn with me to Ephesians 5. We need to avoid spiritual sleep by being careful about fellowshipping sinful things. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For the things which are done by them in secret, it is a shame even to speak of. But all things, when they are reproved, are made manifest by the light of truth, the light of God's Word. Paul's not talking about a physical light bulb. He's talking about the light of truth. For everything that is made manifest is light. Look at verse 14. Wherefore, he says, awake thou that sleepest, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, spiritually dead, and Christ shall shine upon thee. You, brethren, need to wake up. Don't have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. Don't go along with the sinful things. Why, Paul? Back up to verse 8. We are children of light. What is light? Light is when you're awake. You want the light on in your room when you're awake. You don't want the light on when you're sleeping physically. But we are to be children of light. And we are, the very next verse, verse 9, we are to walk as children of light, verse 7, and the fruit of the light is goodness and righteousness and truth. We're to be spiritually alert and awake. But what happens is our culture says, no, just slowly condone sinful things. Go along with it. Maybe you don't personally need to do it yourself, but go along with other people who are doing it. Give them a pass. First of all, don't ever tell them what they're doing is wrong. Don't do that. And just sort of fellowship with what's going on. And what happens is then we get spiritually asleep. We're in fellowship with things we shouldn't be. And what's the solution, Paul? Wake up. Wake up. wake up and get back to the light. And then look at verse 15. Look carefully how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. We need to be wise in the Word of God, and we need to be spiritually awake. Why would Paul say to Christians, awake thou that sleepest? Because some brethren were sleeping. Yes, Eutychus, who falls out of the third story and dies. Yeah, that's a problem. But there's a greater problem in the Lord's church. Not physically falling asleep and falling to your death. The greater problem in the Apostle Paul is spiritual sleep. And he says here, wake up. He said it in Romans 13. He said it in 1 Corinthians 15. Wake up. And he says it here in Ephesians 5. Let's not have fellowship with those sinful things. Wake up and stay away from those things. And I would add to this chart, one thing that will help us to be spiritually awake is to go back to verse 11. If you find yourself no longer reproving things that are wrong, you catch your language, you don't say that something's wrong anymore. You could be on a track to spiritual sleep. Verse 11 is the key to staying awake. You cannot have fellowship, but you also have to reprove things. So we have to call lying wrong. We have to call fornication wrong, or whatever it is. We have to reprove those things. But when we find ourselves, we've stopped reproving it, we're not really hard on it anymore in the pulpit or anywhere else, then we're going down this path of spiritual sleep. And Paul says we need to wake up. Why? Verse 7 and 8. We are children of light, and we're supposed to walk in the light. We're not supposed to be spiritually asleep. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. Let's look at where Paul mentions this again. How can we stay spiritually awake? Well, we can put on God's armor of protection. Put on God's armor of protection. This is how we know that we are spiritually awake each and every day. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 5, beginning in verse 1. Paul is talking about the second coming of Christ here. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, talking about the second coming of Christ, you have no need that aught be written unto you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord, this is the second coming of Christ, so comes as a thief in the night. You're not going to know when Jesus comes again. When they are saying, just stop right there. Who are the they? Who are the they? They are saying. It's people out in culture. It's people around them in Thessalonica. There are people around them that are saying peace and safety. Everybody's fine. It reminds me of the false prophets in Jeremiah. Oh, everybody's fine. Babylon's not going to come and conquer Jerusalem. We're okay. People are out there in our culture in the United States saying, oh, everybody's fine. Peace and safety. Then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall in no wise escape. There's people out in culture, they're, oh, we're having a good old time, and when Jesus comes, bang, they are not going to be able to escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness. He's talking about like the darkness of sin, the darkness of error, that day should overtake you, that day being the second coming, as a thief. For you are all sons of light. This is the same thing as Ephesians 5, 7. You're sons of light. You're children of light. And sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Paul is not talking about physical night and physical darkness. He's saying we are not of the night. We are not of the darkness. We're not spiritually asleep. We don't live in the dark world of sin. That's not where the Christian lives and walks. We are in the day. That's where the truth is. That's where the light is. Look at verse 7. Now he does jump to physical sleep here. For they that sleep, physical sleep, sleep in the night. And they that are drunken are drunken in the night, the physical nighttime. But let us, since we are of the day, we're children of light, be sober, alert, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God appointed us not unto wrath, that's when Jesus comes again, but unto the obtaining of salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, Paul jumps back to sleep in chapter 4, at the end of chapter 4, and he uses it for death. So whether we are awake physically living or whether we die, we should live together with Him. Wherefore, exhort one another and build each other up, even as you also do. Paul moves back and forth between physical sleep and spiritual sleep, and then he even adds in verse 11, where sleep is used for death. But we need to put on God's armor of protection. And so let's make sure, look at verse 8 again, let's make sure that we have a strong faith, which comes by hearing from hearing God's word, that we have a strong love where we serve others, and that we have a strong hope of salvation. There's no doubt in our minds. We have a hope that is sure and steadfast. Those things will protect us, but in this context, they will keep us from that night and that darkness where we're just spiritually asleep and we're just saying, oh, everything's fine, and let's just live and let anybody live the way they want, and we'll just all have a good time. We're not going to fall into that trap. We're going to be spiritually alert and ready for Jesus to come again. And then one last passage, and I'll close this evening. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 16 and verse 15. If we will just simply be a faithful Christian each and every day, whatever that takes to serve the Lord each and every day, and not just be a Christian in name only, but seriously serve the Lord, it will help us to be awake. When John is talking about the judgments that are going to come on Rome, the various judgments, the seven trumpets and the seven seals and the seven bowls of wrath, all of this is being poured out by Jesus in judgment on Rome. In the midst of this latter section here of the seven bowls of wrath, verse 15, behold, I come as a thief. This is Jesus coming in judgment on Rome. Blessed is he that watches, here's your idea of spiritual alertness, and keeps his garments, lest he should walk naked and they see his shame. He that watches and keeps his garments. Turn back with me to chapter 3. What's this? What does it mean to watch and keep our garments? Well, we learn in the letter to Sardis what that means. So turn back with me to Revelation 3:2. What does it mean to watch and make sure that our garments, spiritual garments, are proper? Revelation 3:2. Be watchful and establish the things that remain. This is wake up, spiritually alert, which were ready to die. For I have found no works of thine perfected before my God. Remember, therefore, how that you have received and did hear, and keep it and repent. If, therefore, thou shalt not watch, stay spiritually alert, I will come as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. But you have a few names in Sardis that did not defile their garments. They are spiritually awake, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcomes shall thus be arrayed in white garments. I will in no wise blot his name out of the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. I'm spiritually alert. How? By being faithful and my keeping my garments. What does that mean, keeping my garments in the book of Revelation? It means that my garments are pure and I am walking according to the Word of God. And this was spoken to Christians living in difficult times. And so anytime we face difficult times today, we stay spiritually alert in being faithful in our service to God. Brethren and friends, I would just simply close this way. Our problem today is not Eutychus falling to his death. Our problem is not physical sleep. The problem that challenges us today is spiritual sleep. And we see how it is so easy to fall into that trap in our modern day culture. And much of it is being piped into our mind with our very phone. And so we have to be alert. We have to see the back of a Cheerios box and say, hey, I'm catching that as a problem. That's a problem. We've got to be alert. And we've got to be suspect. Be suspect of things that are going out in culture. Be alert. Have your radar up. Have your guard up. Have your vision up for anything and everything that is said, because the devil is using so much in our culture to get people to fall asleep. We're going to sing this song of invitation, "There's a Great Day Coming." And if we can help you to be ready for that great day, let us do that. And let's go out this week and be spiritually awake. Awake up, Paul says. Wake up. What a great sentiment. And let's have that in our life today. If we can help you, why won't you come and as we stand and sing this song of invitation.